Good morning. Welcome to our worship here in Coltskirk. To guests who join us, we're delighted that you're here. At the end of our service, we have coffee up in the main hall, there's a tradecraft stall, and a chance to chat. A couple of notices to bring to your attention. There are still two suitcases in my vestry of some value, I would suspect. So would the owner please come and collect them? Thank you. The second thing is, those of you who were exploring the season of Advent through a poem a day, haphazard by starlight, we said we'd meet one more time after Christmas just to review the whole thing and how that habit may or may not have made our Advent journey richer. That meeting is this Friday at 10 o'clock. It was the only time I could fit it all together. So that meeting is this Friday at 10 o'clock in the Kirk Centre. And if you were part of that group, you're welcome to come along. Those are the notices. I'm delighted to say our worship this morning is led by Joan Thorne.
And I hope that you'll be as delighted and that no one's disappointed. I asked Ewan to sit behind a pillar somewhere so that I didn't see him. But to all seriousness, let's hear our call to worship, which is Psalm 100. Sing to the Lord, all the world. Worship the Lord with joy. Come before him with happy songs. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we belong to him. We are his people. We are his flock. Enter the temple gates with thanksgiving. Go into its courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise him. The Lord is good. His love eternal and his faithfulness lasts forever. Let's stand and begin our worship by singing hymn number 189, Be Still.
Come, thou beautiful, and now.
children in church this morning? Yes? Are you wanting to come forward? I've got lots of things in here, so if I haven't got many children, then I'm going to go to the big children. Because these are all God's children, aren't they? But I wondered if you'd heard a saying that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Have you heard of that? Yes? Do you think it's true?
I don't know.
I don't think it's true. Do you think it's true? No, it's not true at all, is it? Because if people say nasty things to us, it really hurts. And it can hurt for a very long time, can't it? So the Bible tells us that we are to speak words of life. And words of life mean speaking good words and words of encouragement to each other so that we are giving them life. That's what God says. And St. Paul said that we need to encourage each other to build each other up. And that's exactly what happened when Jesus was baptized. Do you know the story of Jesus' baptism? No. When Jesus was baptized, God said, "This is my beloved Son, in him I am well pleased." So that was a nice bit of encouragement for Jesus, wasn't it? So, would you like to be encouraged by God? Yes. Right, I've got some encouraging words in here. So what we're going to do is take them out. Will you manage to read it if I give you my microphone? Have a look at it first. Just take one. I've got a bit bashed. Have a look and see. Can you read it?
No.
No? Right. It says, "You are beautiful." That's for you to keep. Do you want one? Put your hand in. There you go. And this says, "Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart." That's nice, is it? Do you want to keep that one? You keep that one. Right, so they're yours to keep. So when you're feeling down, or when somebody has said something nasty to you, you take that out and read it, and that's an encouraging word from God. You can go and sit that down. My timekeeper.
My timekeeper.
Okay. You are my masterpiece. Nice.
I chose you when I planned creation.
Yeah, I chose you.
Ephesians 1:11.
Okay, you keep that.
Thank you.
And when you're needing encouragement. There's plenty, because I wasn't sure how many kids there would be. Right, there you go, you have.
You are special.
Aren't we all? You manage? You are created with a purpose. And don't forget it. You are unique. Wow. Oh, no, you haven't. No.
I meet all your needs.
I meet all your needs. Sorry, I'm not reaching. I'm going to come down the other side.
You are a new creation.
Oh, wow, you are a new creation. Why do all the men sit at the side?
I love you with an everlasting love.
No, you keep it. It's yours. It's your encouraging word.
Nothing can ever separate you from my love.
Lovely. Nothing can ever separate us from his love.
You were made in my image.
Wow.
I
How many have I got left?
A few.
You are strong.
You are strong.
I lavish my love on you.
Great. I lavish my love on you. Now, why did you not come up to the front? I hope I've got enough left.
You are forgiven.
You are forgiven.
You are loved.
You are loved. Lots about love, isn't there?
I sing lullabies to you.
Lucky dip, yep. Oh.
You are mine.
You are mine. It's much better than a Chinese cookie. You got one, didn't you? Right, I'm going to go over to the other side. No more children. Do you want to pick one? There you go. You'll have to maybe come out here so that I can read it with you. There you go. It says, you are lovely.
Oh,
close to my heart. No, that's yours. I don't want somebody putting that. Oh, right, okay.
You are my treasure.
You are my treasure. Sorry, you're so grown up looking, I didn't notice you.
I am your greatest encourager.
I am your greatest encourager. Now, if you don't believe that these are all words from the Bible, you'll be able to look them up. Right, what have I got left? Three.
You are important.
You are important.
You are protected.
You are protected. Want to take one?
You are empowered.
You are empowered. Would you like to take one? We're getting to the end of them now, I promise. You want it? That's it.
If you seek me with all your heart,
you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me.
You are chosen.
Last one. I think there's still one, isn't there?
There's another one.
Is there another one?
You are
cared for. Right, and this one's the last one. I don't know what's left.
You are precious.
You are precious. All great words, aren't they? So, if you need encouragement, there's plenty of encouragement, probably right underneath your nose, but certainly with two or three versions of the Bible that you've probably got at home. So the next time that you need encouragement, just go there. It's the greatest encourager.
So we're going to sing about how much God loves us now with a Sunday school favourite of mine, Jesus Loves Me. And it's 5-6-3, but it's going to be sung to the tune of 5-6-4, because I put the wrong number down on the order of service. Now we're going to say the Lord's Prayer together at the end of our prayer of adoration. If you don't know the words for the version that's used in the church, you should find a card in the pocket in the seat in front of you. Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you for bringing us together again this morning into your house and into your presence. We come with everything that is inside us today, our thoughts, our hopes, and our fears. We come with our plans, our dreams, our memories. We come to offer you everything we have and everything we are. We praise you for your majesty, which was once clothed with our humanity, for your glory, which fills our emptiness, for your love, which gives us life, and for your holiness, which exposes our sinfulness. We praise you that in Christ you came and shared all that life means to us, so that we, by your grace, might enter into all that heaven is with him. Thank you that you do not leave us to struggle through this life alone, and for your assurance that you are with us always through the power of your Holy Spirit. We confess before you with humble hearts that we so often sin against you in thoughts, words, and actions. Our selfish desires so often leaving us blind to the needs of others. Our harsh words firing flaming arrows at those we are supposed to love and care for. We too often look to the things of this world to meet our need for encouragement instead of turning to you. We gladly receive the love of Christ for ourselves, but are often too slow and fearful of sharing it with others. In a moment of silence, Lord, search our hearts and bring to mind anything specific we need to ask forgiveness for. Thank you that through Jesus we are forgiven. You are the yearning of every human heart. Grant us a renewed desire to follow you this week, wherever you lead. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name, saying together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Now our scripture reading this morning is going to be read for us by Dexter Fawcett.
The first reading is from Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 to 17. At this time, Jesus arrived from Galilee and came to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. But John tried to make him change his mind. I ought to be baptized by you, John said, and yet you have come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so for now, for in this way we shall do all that God requires. So John agreed. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water. Then heaven was opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove and alighting on him. Then a voice said from heaven, This is my own dear Son, with whom I am pleased. The second reading is from Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Go then to all peoples everywhere, and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, and I will be with you always to the end of the age.
Thank you, Dexter. As we contemplate those readings, let us stand, if you're able, and sing. Hymn number 374, The Servant King.
Thank you.
Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you for your word to us. Thank you that your word is truth, and through it you speak life into us. We pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you would open our minds and soften our hearts, so that when we leave this place today, we know that we have heard from you and that in some way our lives will be transformed. In Jesus' glorious name, we pray. Amen. This is the first Sunday in Epiphany, which is traditionally celebrated by the church on the 6th of January. Epiphany, a moment of sudden and great revelation. Something is revealed, which causes a paradigm shift in someone's thinking. A shift that has such an effect on their life that they are never the same again. We experience an epiphany moment when we realize the truth of Christ's identity as God's Messiah, the Son of God, the Son of Man. A moment of revelation where lives are changed forever. In Christian theology, baptism is sometimes described as the epiphany of the Lord. Jesus' baptism is an epiphany moment for both Christ himself and those with him. It's the first time that God the Father reveals Jesus, his Son, to the wider world. John the Baptist had been instantly recognizable to the Jews as a prophet, not only through his message, but also by his appearance and his lifestyle. So why did the whole Judean countryside and people from as far away as Jerusalem flock to hear John preach his message of repentance and forgiveness of sins and be baptized? This was no easy trip, no nice day out for the family. It hadn't been a case of, well, we've got nothing better to do today, so let's go and see the strange man in the desert shouting about some kingdom or other, dressed in camel hair and eating locusts and wild honey, long before I'm a celebrity, get me out of here, was thought of. Today, Jerusalem is a full 45 minutes bus trip on very good dual carriageway road from the original baptismal site near Jericho. It would have taken days, not weeks, to travel by foot over that rough terrain. But even more surprising than that, Jews had never submitted to baptism before. Why would they? They were God's chosen people, children of Abraham, assured of God's salvation. They didn't consider themselves sinners, shut out from God. The Pharisees' reaction to Jesus teaches us that. Baptism was reserved for converts to Judaism only. They were unclean, polluted. They needed cleansing, but not those born Jews. But here was John the Baptist, a Jew, calling for other Jews to be baptized. Why should they need to? Why would they want to? But there was something very different in the call of John the Baptist. John lived his message, and people listened to him. He told people what in their hearts of heart they already knew. John's mission was to prepare the way for the coming Messiah. His sole purpose, to connect men and women to the one who was greater and stronger than he. But Jesus presenting himself for baptism in the first place raises all sorts of questions for us, like it did for John. If Jesus knew no sin, why did he need to be baptized for repentance and forgiveness? And why did God the Father choose this time to introduce his Son to the world? After all, Jesus was only about to start his ministry. He hadn't done anything yet. For Jesus, his baptism was a personal epiphany moment, which not only affected and changed his life, but continues to affect and change us and millions of others. First, there's a moment of decision. Jesus had lived in Nazareth for 30 years. He had left his duties as a son and his work as a tradesman. He must have been conscious that the time was approaching for his real mission to start and was looking for a sign. The emergence of John the Baptist was that sign. It was time for Jesus' earthly ministry to start. His mission was beginning to provide a bridge between heaven and earth. It was a moment of decision for Jesus. Will he accept his mission or reject it? The decision he made will be a life-changing one for him and the whole of mankind. And then there's a moment of identification. Jesus comes onto the scene with a paradoxical blend of magnificence and humility. Jesus identifies himself with the active ministry and message of John. This was a moment in time when crowds of Jews were recognizing that they had wandered away from God and his ways. The time had come for them to own up to their sinfulness, take responsibility, confess their sin, and seek God's forgiveness. John was, and still is, pointing us to the one we all need. Water baptism enables the barrier of human sin to be removed so that the way to a personal relationship with God can be opened. But Jesus is not the typical baptismal candidate. John is startled and initially unwilling to baptize him. He needed what Jesus could give, not the other way around. I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" he asks. John was right, of course. Water baptism was completely unnecessary and irrelevant for Jesus. But Scripture says, although he had no sin, he became sin for us. Jesus did not seek repentance for himself. He offered himself as the answer to John's call for all people to repent. Jesus' baptism fulfilled the prophecy by Isaiah 600 years earlier that he would be numbered with the transgressors. Jesus says, "It must be done to fulfill all righteousness." In other words, it's an act of submission and obedience to God. God is unfolding the purpose for Jesus to establish an affinity between humanity and God. The bridge is under construction. In order for Jesus to rescue humanity, it was necessary for him to experience the fullness of what it means to be human. By being publicly baptized by John, Jesus was identifying himself with us, the people he came to save. It's an act of solidarity. Next, there's a moment of equipment. Earlier in the chapter in Matthew, John says that he will baptize the people with water, but someone was coming after him who would baptize them with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Then we're told in verse 16 that as Jesus came out of the water, the Spirit of God descended on him like a dove. A dove is a simple symbol of gentleness and purity, representing the peace of God. But the Holy Spirit is also represented by fire, signifying the power of God, which is only available to us through the Holy Spirit. Jesus has identified himself with humanity, and now he is equipped with power by the Father for the task ahead of him. And then finally, a moment of approval. This story is just the first confirmation in the Gospels that God is introducing Jesus as his son. Immediately after being baptized, Mark's Gospel describes that the heavens are torn open. Jesus is unveiled as God's beloved son. And a voice is heard saying, "This is my own dear son, with whom I am pleased. The gospel accounts of Jesus' baptism in Mark and Luke both use the word "you" instead of "my," suggesting that this was a personal message to Jesus and no one else heard it. But either way, Jesus and any other Jews hearing God speak would have instantly recognized the statement as a description of the Messiah from Psalm 2, verse 7, and Isaiah 42, verse 1. Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit, like the Old Testament prophets, in preparation for his messianic work. This divine, ceremonial anointing confirmed for Jesus divine approval. God was pleased with Jesus before he had started his ministry. God was encouraging him, confirming that he was on the right path and that his time had indeed now come. The reference to Psalm 2, verse 7, "You are my son," was his coronation as king. The approval of his father was a foreshadow of what will come later at the Transfiguration, when God adds the words, "Listen to him," to the same message. Having God's public approval must have been a great moment for Jesus. and it had no doubt strengthened and encouraged him to face the 40 days of testing by Satan in the wilderness, which he was led directly into by the Spirit immediately after his baptism. At Jesus' baptism, God confirms that Jesus is the chosen one of God. He is God's Son. Like us, Jesus didn't have to do anything to get God's approval. God is not impressed by anything we do. Jesus just was his Son, and we just are his children. Now, Jesus knows for sure that he's on the right path. He was chosen to be a king, but his throne will be a Roman cross. Destined to be a conqueror, but his conquest's only weapon will be the power of his suffering love. I'm sure we can all recall times in our lives when we have been in desperate need of encouragement, times when we experience the opposite of encouragement, and know how soul-destroying that felt. I'm sure we can also all recall times when the encouragement we were given from others helped us through very difficult and challenging times. And if it hadn't been for that encouragement, we may well have sunk into a pit of depression or given up on something we had been working so hard to achieve. We need to remember, though, when we are attempting to offer encouragement to others, maybe our children, for example, that we can fall into the trap of manipulation rather than encouragement, something as parents we're all guilty of doing. Have you ever said to your children or grandchildren, if you eat your vegetables, you'll get ice cream? I have, many times. But encouragement doesn't always come in words we want to hear. Usually, it is words we need to hear, though. Jesus was still encouraged and strengthened by God in Gethsemane, even although the Father's will did not change to come in line with Jesus' wishes to have this cup pass from me. Jesus certainly couldn't rely on his human companions for encouragement during his ministry. Even when they try, they fail miserably. All but a few will eventually completely abandon him when he needs them most. The loneliness Jesus must have experienced at times when he walked the earth must have been overwhelming. Jesus models for us at his baptism and numerous other times in the Gospels how our relationship with our Heavenly Father should be. When we need encouragement, the best place to go is God's word. We will always find encouragement and strength there that no one else can give. In John 5, Jesus openly admitted that he could do nothing without the Father, and neither can we. He needed his intimate relationship with the Father to provide him with the bucket load of encouragement that he must have needed to complete his mission. Likewise, our passion for Jesus and all he stands for can only come from the fire of the Holy Spirit, a passion that can only be flamed by staying close to him every day, not just while we're in church on a Sunday. That's not enough to keep the fire glowing. If you take a hot coal out of a burning fire, it doesn't take long for the red glow to dim and the coal to turn dark. It's the same with us. To be fruitful, we need to stay attached to the vine. In the letter to the Roman church, Paul says, "Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." Baptism for Jesus was the beginning of a journey, the beginning of his earthly ministry, his launching, his commissioning. God has already launched and commissioned the church in the world. He did that with the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And then comes the encouragement. And I am surely with you always, to the very end of the age. Amen. Glory be to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Let's continue our worship by singing hymn number 526. This is a day of new beginnings. Continue our worship now with our offering, and when the offering is brought forward, the congregation sings the last verse of hymn 392, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we dedicate our offering to you, asking that you would bless and multiply it to further the work in this church and community. You call us to pray for the needs of others, so we approach you now, asking that you would hear our prayers in Jesus' name for the world and the people we know and love who need your help at this time. We pray for the suffering societies everywhere, particularly in Syria and other countries in the Middle East, where war and unrest are constant companions. We pray for those who are victimized because of their faith. Be close to them, Lord, to strengthen and encourage them in their desperation. Thank you that we are free to worship you without fear or threat of violence. Father, we ask that you would bring unity to the churches throughout the world. May the days that follow this coming year be those that see your church rekindled with the fire of the Holy Spirit, so that we can live and operate in the power of the gospel. Move in and around us so that your mighty name will be lifted high in our nation again. Renew the fires of passion for Jesus in our hearts so that we are transformed into fitting vessels like John the Baptist for you to use to turn the hearts of a godless society back to you. We ask your blessing over the leaders in our nation and those around the world, that they would exercise their responsibilities with wisdom and integrity for the good of the people they are elected to serve. May your presence, peace, and comfort be upon people in our community who are lost, lonely, and afraid. And may your healing and restoring hand touch all those who are sick in either mind, body, or spirit. We remember the hungry and the homeless, and pray your blessing and provision over the charitable organizations who work so hard to help those in need. Loving God, you never promised us an easy life. But we thank you that you are strength in our weakness, light in our darkness, and peace in our storms. Thank you for your promise that you are always with us to the very end of the age. Go before us in the days ahead this coming week, and help us to speak words of encouragement to those around us, and always shine the light of Christ into this dark world. In the mighty and powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray, the name above all other names. Amen. So to conclude our service, please stand if you can, and we're going to sing hymn number 512, To God Be the Glory. Thank you. the God of hope, fill us with all joy and peace as we trust in him, so that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be among us and remain with us, now and forevermore.